bitch, I got my own fight, don't need security in the club. All they wolfing on the net, nigga, I thought you was a thug. I ain't got nowhere to go, I shot up everywhere they was. Yeah, you know who took that shit from you, come get it back in blood. Bitch, come get it back in blood. We ain't mask up, no Dodger X, niggas know who it was. It's doing shit just like the 80s, once I'm back, get it in blood. Yeah, you know who took that shit from you, come get it back in blood. If your nigga killer ain't dead, you sure wear no RIP shirt. We had 300 shots up in the car before we picked up dirt. Niggas who ain't got shit going, go grab a glizzy, get alert. Shots to G-Post, RIP, and Breezy in the dirt. You gotta know I go too far. Up on this honey, one of them might stand for O Block. About 20 some shots left up in the K, 15 still in the Glock. Keep my door unlocked and stop. I like getting on feet, park the car.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the BN Technical Podcast. For those new listeners out there, if you don't know who I am by now, I am the host, Aaron BN, where I'm always technical, but not always practical. For my continuous listeners, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. For those that are new to this episode and new to this podcast or just now discovering this for the first time, appreciate y'all. If you want to catch up to my previous episodes, available on all major platforms, Spotify, Apple. You can also subscribe, give me a 5-star rating. You can also stream it straight through the Anchor app if you would like to catch up and hear my other technical takes that I may have. But you can also follow me Twitter, Instagram, just being Aaron. And I got a couple for this episode though. I got a couple things I'd like to tackle and address. Obviously, there's some thoughts that I would like to get off my chest that I feel like there's a lot of polarizing athletes out there. But I just feel like these two come to mind to me at least. But I'll dive into that in just a bit. But obviously, this week, you got the NFL releasing their schedule, their new formatted 18-week schedule, week 18, all the primetime games. We'll find out who everyone plays in which week. Obviously, I'm curious. I'm tuned in because I'm curious to know who the Vikings play when, which primetime games they have, and see which weeks I could possibly, hopefully, knowing if the fans are back in the stands. I would love to catch a football game. It's just so crazy. Like, the NFL now is like, oh, NFL schedule release tomorrow, or schedule release. Tune in now. 3-hour special, ESPN. It's just so remarkable how the NFL and their marketing tactics are just brilliant. They have literally turned every little aspect of their league into like an event, into some broadcasting event, and it is just genius. It just shows the obsessions we Americans have for football, and especially the NFL, that there's just not a league out there such as the NFL. And I love it. I'm guilty of it. I'm so obsessed with NFL football that I will tune into anything that has to do with football, and especially the NFL. Because when you think about it, after the Super Bowl, then he jumps into Combine, and then there's a 3-day Combine. But prior, pre-COVID, the NFL would have their Combine special where everyone would just watch ratings through the roof for just the NFL Combine. And then you have a 3-day special now for the NFL Draft. First round, second round, third round. It never used to be like that. It was just the crazy part. Obviously, now with the more folks, television's more accessible for people. They know folks, the NFL knows people's obsession for football, that they will tune in to anything related. The NFL Draft, 3-day special, ratings through the roof. And now what do they have? NFL release, 3-hour special. And now everyone's going to be glued to their TV to find out which of their favorite teams, mine being the Vikings, who are they going to play when? Then you're going to find out which primetime games are they playing on Monday night, if you're playing on Sunday night, Thursday night, etc. And people will be tuned in to watch the NFL. And it is just remarkable that the NFL is just the upper echelon of all sports leagues, both not only in America, but just worldwide. And just how people will tune into any little event or any little thing the NFL will do. And then you got training camp, and you're going to have specials and people with their camps, their training camps, and they're going to be tuned in. Then you got the Hall of Fame game, in which a meaningless preseason game, in which you will see ratings that might surpass World Series, NBA Finals, Stanley Cup. That is just remarkable. The obsession around the NFL and people so eager for the football season, and that they knew our consumption with the NFL and football was so crazy that they added a 17th game. They know that we are so obsessed with football that, yes, give us a 17th game. Sure, it might not be looking toward the I know that the NFL advocates for player safety and those sorts, but adding an extra game doesn't necessarily show player safety. No, we're worried about the safety of our players, knowing, you know, with the previous NFL players in the past dealing with CTE and tons of head injury and trauma post-NFL career, and the NFL supposedly saying they're doing what it can for player safety. Let's add a 17th game. And everyone's like, yeah, let's add a 17th game. Because what makes the NFL remarkable, it's because it's not only that people watch football. There's this other dynamics that the NFL has. You got the betting, Vegas. You got the betting folks that place bets. I feel like the NFL is probably the most bet on sports games out there. Somebody prove me wrong, but I feel like the NFL is most bet on game in all of American sports. Then you got your fantasy football gurus that are keeping up with the fantasy and so obsessed with the fantasy. And then you have the fans that just love football. So the NFL has those three traits that makes their league that much more intriguing. And I'm not gonna lie, I am gonna be tuned into the NFL release. I'm curious to see what transpires with the league, who plays who. Obviously, once that's released, I will dive into that. But big shout out to the NFL. I'm curious to see who watch, how many fans. I hope that once the NFL draft, the schedule release or for all these networks, and then you got the preseason, I'm curious to see when those ratings are published, and I want to compare just those three events, not regular season, postseason, Super Bowl viewership. I want to compare those three Super Bowl to ratings of the finals, the NBA Finals, the NHL Stanley Cup, the MLB World Series. I'm intrigued to see which surpasses which. But speaking of the NBA, one of the most polarizing players that we have come across in this era, I would like, is Russell Westbrook. And this recently, Russell Westbrook's, big shout out Russell Westbrook, passed Oscar Robertson for the most triple doubles of all time with 182. Big shout out to Russell Westbrook, 182 and counting, because I feel like he's going to add on to that. But he's such a polarizing figure because there's folks that say he's just a stat patter, and there's folks that say he's a great player. And for those folks that tarnish Russell Westbrook, and it's not only only Twitter folks that sit there and criticize Russell Westbrook, it's folks in the media that lash out hate for Russell Westbrook, such as Stephen A. Smith. He's been eating his words lately. That the fact that he said, "Oh, Russell Westbrook is nothing but a stat pattern. He's not a great. He's not this. He's not that. Oh, he was the reason for the Oklahoma City Thunder downfall. He's the reason he couldn't get along with Westbrook and he couldn't get along with James Harden in Houston." And folks just constantly criticize him. And I am, for one, admire Russell Westbrook. He is one of the premier players in the game of basketball in the NBA. That the fact that a 6'4 guard can give you 15 plus rebounds and also facilitate and also still give you 20 points a game, and people find a ways to tarnish the man's game. One thing Russell Westbrook will never rob you of, will never leave you with, is his effort. He will always play with tenacity and energy night in and night out. You can't say that about every NBA, every player that has played the game. Maybe next to Jordan or Kobe and those players, that he will never rob you of effort. Nowadays, you're seeing guys take nights off and so-called load management, but Russell Westbrook shows up every night and gives you 100% and plays at 125 miles per hour. And for a player of Russell Westbrook's stature, for someone, eventually people, when they look down in history, when he's retired, they're going to look back and say, man, I wish we appreciated Russell Westbrook more. Russell Westbrook, he's not everyone's cup of tea. He's not a player that everybody can get along with and play along with, because he expects you to play with the same kind of energy and fire that he has every single night, every game, whether it's game one or game 72, 82, he's going to give you his all. And for all those folks, for all those people that say he's just a stat patter, okay, you get those stats. Because every single time Russell Westbrook is on the court, his teams have the best opportunity to win. Sure, he might not be the most efficient player. Sure, he's not efficient. He won't go give you 32 on, you know, 8 for 12 shooting, or, you know, 15 for 21 shooting. He won't give you 40 points. He's not that type of player. But at the same time, he will get his teammates involved, and he will make sure that everyone contributes to the team. But yet, people find ways to nitpick and gripe at Russell Westbrook. Maybe because Kevin Durant went and left him and won 2 championships, he's going to be known for the guy that couldn't make it work with Kevin Durant, because when you come to find out, Russell Westbrook is an alpha male. Kevin Durant is, for as great of a player he is, he's more of a beta male. He kind of wants to be in the back. You know, he doesn't want to be the vocal leader. He doesn't want to be the guy that has to lead. He just wants to score his 30, do his thing, and be about it. And that's why he was okay joining up with Steph and Klay and Draymond, when they already have established leaders with Golden State. Then he goes to Brooklyn. He goes, plays with Kyrie Irving. Now he brings James Harden because he knows Kyrie Irving will take on that leader role, and all he can do is just play basketball. And same with James Harden in Houston, with Russell Westbrook. And he realized, knowing that he played with him in Oklahoma City, went with him in Houston, and he even realized James Harden didn't play with the same kind of passion and energy that he did on a night-to-night basis. He gets a bad name because, oh, he can't get along with James Harden. Who can this guy get along with? Oh, he just does this. He just does that. So for you, you cannot say you are a true basketball fan and say, or a true competitor and say you don't admire Russell Westbrook, because he gives you the best of both worlds. He gives you energy, fire, competitiveness, edge, willingness to win, and he gives you features that players have never accomplished before. Because clearly Russell Westbrook leads the league in the NBA with triple doubles. So at some point, for all those people that like to criticize Russell Westbrook, look, and if you say you're a basketball purist, ask yourself that one question. What is it about Russell Westbrook you don't like? What is it? Because I want to know, because I admire Russell Westbrook. I think he deserves his flowers one day, and one day we'll sit back and be like, man, we witnessed greatness and we didn't admire it. That's how I feel about Russell Westbrook. And another polarizing athlete in the headlines, Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is what it's looking like back into the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars on a one-year deal. I don't think we have the details of the contract yet, but he's 33, hasn't played in 8 years. And he finally makes his way back into the NFL. You probably remember the last time he played in the NFL, he was a quarterback. Did you think he got signed as a quarterback? No. He is a tight end. He will try out for the tight end position. He's going to try out as a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So obviously everyone's first reaction, how could this be? Tim Tebow hasn't played in 8 years. How come he deserves a chance? There's so many other players. Obviously, you got players clapping back, such as Devin Bush, saying, oh, he can't wait to hit Tim Tebow this year when Jacksonville plays. And how can he? He's never played. He's never caught a ball in the NFL. He's never lined up and had to block a DN or a linebacker. And sure, yes, he is robbing the opportunity of someone that actually has played tight end. Play tight end through their collegiate into the NFL that he's taking a chance from when there's guys out there that actually play tight end. But you got to realize, folks. And obviously people bring up the, how is it Tim Tebow gets a chance in the NFL, but Colin Kaepernick doesn't? You know, obviously it's two different spectrums. Skill-wise, I believed Colin Kaepernick was one of 64, let's say, counting starters and backups, 61 is one of the top 64 quarterbacks in the world. Like, he was up there. Like, he deserved to be in the NFL. Obviously, they tried to get him in the league, but that's a whole different argument for another day. But Tim Tebow, you got to think, it's not about if he can play or not. Because when you think about with Tim Tebow, what does Tim Tebow bring to a table? Obviously, let's start off with the connection. He played with Urban Meyer back in his days in Florida. They had six, when Urban Meyer coached Florida, success, won two championships. Tim Tebow was a Heisman. And he's an athletic freak. That's one connection. And you also got second connection. Why the Jacksonville Jaguars? Tim Tebow is from the Jacksonville area. And another thing, Tim Tebow brings a media attention. He's a media attention grabber. He steals the tabloids. He's constantly in the news. He's constantly in the sports cycles. When his days is playing time, drafted with the Broncos, went to the Jets. And I know Skip is having the greatest time because now it gives him more ammo to talk about Tim Tebow. And it gives you, he's just a talking head. And what does that do when you constantly talk about a player? What does that do? That makes the Jacksonville Jaguars more relevant. Because you're consistently going to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, obviously, them drafting Trevor Lawrence. They're constantly going to be in the cycle. They're constantly going to be relevant. And it's also a marketing tactic to sell more tickets. Because obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars have been struggling to sell out their stadium. They black out a lot of their games. So what does Tim Tebow bring? He brings an intrigueness to the Jacksonville Jaguars that they have not had in previous years. All it is just an attention grab to make them more relevant and possibly sell more tickets and even possibly sell more merchandise and jerseys of Tim Tebow. And it just makes it intriguing that, wow, we're curious to see how he'll be in tight end. How he'll be a tight end in the NFL. How will he be used? According to Urban Meyer, he said that Tim Tebow is a competitive maniac. He's in great shape. He looks like he's still 18 years old. He's built. The man will do what it takes to win. Obviously, he says all the right things, but it's just a tactic. I mean, Tim Tebow, he tried to play baseball, and now what did that do? He made himself relevant, trying to play in this minor league. Then he comes back, and what does that do? See, Tim Tebow probably saw Taysom Hill out there playing with the Saints, catching passes. He was a quarterback in college when he was BYU. Then he goes to New Orleans Saints, and he sees Sean Payton using him in special teams and using him in certain packages to get the ball. Could be a wildcat run, quarterback, punch the ball in at the 1 yard line. He saw Taysom Hill out there. I'm like, man, I can do what he does. Seen him make $10 to $12 million playing 5-6 plays a game, plus on special teams. You telling me Tim Tebow, who was arguably, let's not forget, Tim Tebow was arguably most likely, arguably the greatest college football player to have ever played. Tim Tebow is literally the Christian Laettner of college football. He won. He was a Heisman winner. He won championships. Statistically speaking, he is one of the greatest college football players to have ever played the game. So let's not forget the kind of player Tim Tebow was. But to get up in arms and upset about Tim Tebow signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars over some guy who could possibly be a third string tight end or deserves a chance. Football speaking, yes, you are correct. But you also have to forget the NFL is a business first. They're all about their bottom line. So do you want some guy that played tight end at some Division II school or, you know, undrafted rookie or a free agent tight end? Or do you want to sign Tim Tebow? And if you're a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars that are starving to be relevant, do you sign a player like Tim Tebow? It all comes down to that at the end of the day. It's all it is a marketing tactic by the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer. Sure, deep down, Urban Meyer probably wants to give his former college quarterback a chance to relive his dream again and play in the NFL and see if he still got it. But secondly, it's just a marketing tactic to make the Jacksonville Jaguars relevant again. We'll see if he even makes the team in August, but from that time to preseason to when they have to make cuts, all you're going to hear about is Tim Tebow in camp. Tim Tebow in preseason. How is Tim Tebow going to contribute? How are they going to use Tim Tebow? What packages? It's going to make the Jacksonville Jaguars more relevant, and that is why they signed Tim Tebow. So before you're all up in arms, outraged about the signing, just look at it in a business aspect, and you will figure out your answer right there. And just watch football and all the news outlets and all the sports channels when they discuss football. Just notice and realize all the talk shows, how many times Tim Tebow is discussed on a day-to-day basis. And you will figure out why they made such a signing. That's all. And that's it. That's all. You'll figure it out then. But anyways, for those listening, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. That's all I had to say. That's all I got for y'all. Keep tuning in. Subscribe to my podcast, Being Technical Podcast. You can stream this episode as well as on my previous episodes on all major platforms such as Apple, Spotify. You can also follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Just Being Aaron. That's all I got for you for this time. Until next time, folks. I'm out.
He didn't say a word. Technical foul, Wallace. He's gone. Devil too close to me. Devil too close to me. I see my enemies turn friendly and get close to me. I seen a movement from a distance. They approach me. I don't trust nobody. The burner may come toast to me. Used to get blessings from my grandma before I leave out for my day. She the reason that I'm here. No, any day could be my day. Countless nights had situations that ain't almost go my way. I'm still standing by my mission. I'ma do this shit my way. Remember laying on my deathbed. I couldn't speak. My body bleeding. I was restless. They stuffed them tubes down through my throat cause I was breathless. My mama never left my side. She was my best friend. I seen the tears run out her eyes and it was endless. Ain't had no fear up in my heart. My soul was stressless. He done blessed me with a chance when I was helpless. I promise I would never lose and not forget this. Remember me said if I die today, know what I tried to say. Hitting my grandma isn't straight, that shit's a tragedy. I see him hurting niggas down there causing casualties. This hell on earth, it ain't no place to raise a family. I pray the Lord. my life, no, I need changes. So many people around me, but they feel like strangers. Don't get too close to me, you know I get anxious. I seen the devil, I hope God sent me some angels. We in a crisis, walk outside, it feel like we at war, my block is ISIS. Turn the TV on, them bodies dropping, we can't fight this. I survived the day, but we don't treat it like it's priceless. When we at them funerals, the only time we righteous, yeah. I need blessings on me. I know many niggas want their weapons on me. I know I've been paranoid, I watch them closely. But I just heard my nigga got shot by his homie. Damn, that shit so cold to me. Can't nobody tell me nothing, my hood still got hope in me. I just want my millions, don't want nobody to notice me. No killer, but no nigga getting close to me. Said if I die today, know what I try to say. Hitting my grandma isn't straight, that shit's a tragedy. I'm hunting niggas down there causing casualties. This hell on earth, it ain't no place to raise a family. I pray the Lord I see, I pray my soul to keep. Say my three prayers every night before I go to sleep. I know I'm never gonna get what isn't supposed to be. But I need changes in my life, devil too close to me.